opinion are not necessarily those of our advertisers or staff.
We're WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450, and worldwide at WGNSradio.com.
From the WGNS studio in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, welcome to the Financial Doctor Show, where cookie-cutter financial advice just doesn't cut it. If you're like me and you're tired of one-size-fits-all financial talk radio, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Jason Qualls, Certified Financial Planner. For more about our show, go to financialdoctors.net. Again, that's financialdoctors.net. There you can send us an email by clicking Email the Show. You can also find a link to our Facebook page as well. If you have questions or comments today, chime in, 893-1450. Again, 893-1450. If you miss any part of today's broadcast, you can always catch us online at financialdoctors.net just by going to Listen to the Show section. Today, we'll be doing an abbreviated version of the Financial Doctor Show. The MTSU pregame show begins here at 2 p.m. right on WGNS Radio. But you can catch the full hour tomorrow at 4 p.m. right here on WGNS. Our topic for today, but not only for today, for the season, is the power of giving and how to build a legacy, or how to leave behind a legacy, rather. Dana Cox is with us. She's founder of Dreamcatchers Therapy Services. Hello, Dana.
Hey, Jason.
And we may be joined later on by some other folks, but right now it's just Dana and I here in the studio. And Christmas is definitely upon us, and it is a perfect time of year to be thinking about those less fortunate than ourselves. And a quote that I've used before on other previous shows is by Winston Churchill: we make a living by what we get, but a life by what we give. And I think that's a very appropriate quote for today's topic of charitable giving and leaving behind a legacy. So that's our topic. For those of you that do not know my story, I've been an entrepreneur in Murfreesboro for over a decade. I've also been advising everyday people and business owners on how to create and protect wealth for most of the last 10 years. But in 2008, I had a business that collapsed due to the real estate debacle of 2008. And this really led me to become even more of a student of my craft. And I've always been a great student of my craft, which is financial planning and personal finance. But after that experience, I became a knowledge seeker of what someone's financial behavior and tendencies are, because I've always, you know, always had the book knowledge, and one of the youngest certified financial planners in the state of Tennessee. But after that experience, like I was saying, I studied behavior, and what I wanted to know about behavior is, what is the difference between someone that's successful and someone that just lives a life of mediocrity? And one of the things I kept coming up with in my studying is that philanthropy is an extremely fundamental part of all of us. And that is the reason for the topic today, because it was a leading indicator of what people not only – you know, people define success in many different ways, some financial, some personal, but however you define it, philanthropy and the effect it has on us as people is one of the keys to unlocking success and becoming more fulfilled and successful, no matter how you define it. And so that's why it's important to think about others in need, others less fortunate, because of the impact that it has on not only those that we're helping, which is most important, but also the impact that it has on us as the people that give time and money. So it is a major, major key to success. So that's what today's show is about, and we're going to cover why you should give, where you should give, or where to give, and then how to give. We'll cover how to give efficiently in regards to your financial plan. And I think most people, and for my listeners out there, one of the things that I that that I struggled with when I started to become someone that was giving my time and money to organizations that I always looked at, and I got overwhelmed by the minutia. You know, I started looking for a local organization. I wanted to give back to my community. And I know there's a lot of people out there like me. So I don't want you to be bogged down by that any longer. So we'll address some organizations here locally in our community. And but my other concern is, after I found some local organizations, I want to be confident that they were going to do what they said they were going to do. And we hear a lot of bad press about major philanthropic organizations not always doing what they say they do with money. And I was just watching a TV program last night, and Wycliffe John and his Haiti organization is kind of under the microscope right now for allegedly not doing for what they said they were going to do. But so we want to cover, make sure you know where to give, how to give, and really how to determine whether you can, how to develop trust with an organization before you donate your time and your money. So, Dana, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about your organization? And here again, Dana Cox, she's the founder of Dreamcatchers. So welcome to the Financial Doctor Show.
Thank you, Jason. Absolutely. I think in order to support a program, I feel like you need to understand it first. So let me tell you where I've been in order to tell you where we are now and where we're going into our future. After being a staffed occupational therapist in several clinics since, 99, I discovered that a child who turned 3, they became the responsibility of the schools. And insurance usually would not cover the additional therapies, traditional or non-traditional, and these clinics, primarily early intervention centers for children ages birth to 3, who were served with developmental delays and disabilities. The funding came from grants, local agencies such as United Way, some private pay insurances, and fundraisers. With this heavy on my mind, I began reconstructing a barn on my father's property in a multi-sensory outpatient clinic. I saw a need for an out-of-the-box way of thinking, where children ages 3 to 22 could make a great gain in motor skills, behavior, speech and language, and adaptive skills, all in the natural environment. This treatment approach was founded on a belief that these skills addressed in this kind of environment could be transferred into the home, school, and community more effectively. So in 2004, Dreamcatchers opened its barn doors. And I laugh because Dreamcatchers is a barn. As the legend goes, you hang your Dreamcatchers over your head at night, and the good skills filter through, and the bad dreams get entangled in the webs. Our mission from Dreamcatchers grows from this within the web-like patterns of the loop. The maladaptive skills that we're working on becomes tangled, while the adaptive skills can pass through towards a greater independence. Where Dreamcatchers is now, we have just recently, as of September, turned over to nonprofit. We're an outpatient rehab facility for children who specialize with special needs. We provide occupational therapy and speech therapy and traditional services, but also offer hippotherapy, incorporating the movement of a horse as a treatment tool, and aquatic therapy as non-traditional services.
And what kind of sparked your interest initially? You know, a lot of people, when they get involved and found a foundation, usually is very close to their heart. Was there a child that you have personal experience with that kind of led you to this, or was it your background and your profession?
Absolutely. Jason, just like your little motto, not one size fits all approaches. My heart went out when I saw children that fell through the cracks in the clinics that I worked in the school systems that I worked for. Gifted and special need, or even the autism population, not all of that, just because there's a label entitles them for services. And families that may have insurance, it may not cover well, or it may be an inability to obtain or be able to afford it. So I was wanting to venture out and provide a facility and a service where no child is ever turned away due to financial restraints.
And someone had asked me yesterday when I was discussing with them the topic of the show, is dyslexia, is that kind of in your...
Absolutely. That's one of our specialties, yes.
Because I think, you know, that is something we've seen I don't know, more and more diagnoses of that, or more recently. Is that true? Or more people, is there more diagnoses of that because we know more about it, or has it always been a common thing? When I was growing up, it was, you know, it wasn't that common in my walk of life.
Well, it's always been there, but there's more research and foundation behind it. MTSU has the Dyslexia Center now. One of my board members is the assistant director, Debbie Botter. There's more and more research now that goes into the school systems for the 504 plans that can provide services. And as I said, just because I use the word special needs or disability, that doesn't always mean the physically challenged. It could be the developmental challenge. And most of those kiddos have IQs as well. So absolutely, dyslexia has come forefront in a lot of ways, but it's just due to more research and understanding and more accommodations for it now.
And is there a figure on some of the costs? Because, you know, I have friends and clients that have special needs children, and we've addressed some financial planning issues. I don't know if we've ever addressed, you know, the cost differences between some having a child with special needs versus one that does not. Is there something that we can kind of pinpoint a figure of how much of a drain on someone's financial life this can be when you're not prepared for it, and kind of that's where your organization comes in and helping out in those situations. Is there to kind of give people the impact of how beneficial your service is? What dollar cost could we equate to that?
Wow, to give a specific dollar cost, that would be very, very difficult. Just having kiddos in and of itself, just a typical kid, is expensive. But what I've learned most in the 7 years since I've opened the doors at Dreamcatchers, that there's countless families that are just in Rutherford County that are in need of therapy but cannot afford it. I've seen more and more uninsured families and uncovered services and the inability for families to get insurance, especially under the way the economy is going. Even if a family has insurance, it's not budget friendly. Not only was that one of my founding principles of Dreamcatchers, but that's led me on the journey to find heroes, and more specifically, Dreamcatchers heroes for those kiddos.
Yeah, and the current state of the health insurance issue here in our country, you know, with Obamacare and all the stuff that's up in the air, people probably didn't have a good grasp of it before the changes. So I can imagine someone that's kind of trying to navigate that today, and how it can be kind of a strain. So having an organization like yours that kind of fills that gap is important. So all the listeners out there, local organizations that kind of cover these holes that may not be covered, or just families in need, are extremely important. And I think, you know, Dreamcatchers is doing a wonderful thing here, and it's a great place to consider when you're looking at your charitable contributions to donate to a local organization, especially if you have children. You know, it is a way that there are a lot of families out there that they do not have the means to help and to maximize the potential of a special needs child. And anyone out there with children does know that children, you know, they're not free. And when you have to add some other special services that they need in their development, I think it's crucial. Dana, what is the best place that people can contact you if they want to learn more about your organization or learn more about how to give to its causes?
Dreamcatchers website. That's www.dreamcatcherstherapyservices.org.
Great. Well, we're going to take a little bit of a short break here, and then we're going to come back and we're going to spend some more time with Dana. Thanks for tuning in to the Financial Doctor Show. If you need to chime in, 893-1450. Is your financial advisor really a salesperson? Traditional financial planning is the source of the stress that most people feel in their financial life. This is because most financial advisors are driven by how to sell you financial products rather than providing sound financial advice. The way your advisor is compensated really matters. Hire someone that puts your interest first and really works for you, not a mutual fund broker dealer or an insurance company. If you're looking for someone that can provide you with sound financial advice that's objective and unbiased, call me, Jason Qualls, Certified Financial Planner and fee-only financial life coach, at 878-2134, or go to jasonwqualls.com.
Hello, this is Grant Lichtenwalter with Middle Tennessee Insurance Group. We specialize in shopping your home and auto insurance out with the top-rated companies in the country. And even though our rates are low, we pride ourselves on our service and our attention to detail. We save the average household over $500 a year, while in most cases increasing their coverage. Call Middle Tennessee Insurance Group today at 898-0053. Your home for affordable coverage with complete protection.
Welcome back to the Financial Doctor Show. You can chime in, 893-1450. Again, 893-1450. I'm Jason Qualls, Certified Financial Planner, your host. And we're talking about charitable giving and how to help others in need and leave behind a legacy. And with me is Dana Cox of Dreamcatchers. And we're going to continue to expand on her organization. And one thing she had mentioned earlier was Dreamcatchers Heroes. And she's going to spend some time informing us on that part of her group.
Jason, my Dreamcatchers Heroes. I always like to have certain names for certain principles with the organization. Several of my kids are enamored by the comic book superheroes. So this has inspired me in my idea of creating the Dreamcatchers Heroes. It will help us turn and serve our kiddos into tomorrow's heroes, which is every parent's dream for their child. Many of our children have been in hospitals or clinic situations their entire lives. Dreamcatchers environment gives them the opportunity to have treatment in a fun yet safe atmosphere. So many different projects are going on at Dreamcatchers right now and projects that we plan to implement in the near future. One of the goals that we had is turning it over. Dreamcatchers has been in business. I've been running Dreamcatchers since 2004, as I stated. The last few years, I've been running it like a nonprofit, but we are official as of September 22nd. Yay, thanks to Leadership Rutherford, the class of 2010.
That's awesome.
Yes, I was excited. But there's several different, I call it the Fantastic Four, getting back to the superheroes and throwing that little coin name in. I've got four different ways that contributions can contribute to Dreamcatchers. One of them is the patient fee subsidization program. Dreamcatchers is committed to assuring that our unique services will be available to anyone requiring them, regardless of the financial situation. The second one, we have the renovation plan for Dreamcatchers. As I said, Dreamcatchers is in a barn. Since Jesus was born in a barn, I thought that would be a perfect place to
work. Yeah, I saw that on your website. Yeah. I thought that was very, very neat.
Yeah, I thought that was a perfect place to work with my special need kiddos. In December of 2010, Dreamcatchers was able to complete phase one of the renovation plan by donations made by private individuals from the private sector. This phase included the installation of the barn roof. By doing this project, no occupational therapy sessions had to be canceled due to extreme cold temperatures this past winter or summer. Our next phase into that is phase two, and it's scheduled for whenever we have our funds available. But that will include constructing a drainage ditch in front of Dreamcatchers. At this time, when heavy rain happens, the treatment corral becomes flooded, and sessions most of the time need to be canceled. The third and fourth components of it, and that's in the far-off future, but the Fantastic Four plan, but that's property expansions and property acquirement for a school that Dreamcatchers needs to expand into one day, and then just for the annual budgeting of Dreamcatchers and the programs that we want to implement.
That's great. Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Financial Doctor's Show, and we're talking about the power of charitable giving with Dana Cox from Dreamcatchers. And one thing that just crossed my mind, you know, talking about giving, but what if you're listening out there and you have a special needs child and you weren't available of your organization? Is there a way that the process they need to go through to get your assistance or find out more? Because, you know, there may be a lot of listeners out there that they're in a bind because of their situation.
Yes, a lot of the referrals come from the local pediatricians in town. Dr. Lee Bigham is a great supporter of Dreamcatchers, and he's on the board of directors. But anybody can go into the website and look for Dreamcatchers Therapy Service. We offer occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy. Our non-traditional services are hippotherapy, and that's treatment with the use of a horse. And we also do aquatic therapy as well.
Aquatic therapy. Can you expand on that? I'm not sure. I'm familiar with that.
Of course, it's seasonal right now. I need to look into getting a contract with a local in-house swimming pool, so it can be year-round, but it's doing therapy in the water.
Awesome. Well, if you're out there and you have access to, that would be commercial size, I would assume, like a like an institution, sportscom, that kind of area. Well, if you're out there and looking for someone you can partner with, Dream Catchers could be it. So if you're a representative of some, with someone with access to a pool, please call in or contact us. Also, Dana's website will be on our link, financialdoctors.net, and you can also access her from that site as well. For those of you that were like me, looking, just trying to seek out local organizations, you know, I think that's key. If you're wanting to give back to your community, you know, local organizations are great. Not that the other ones aren't, but if you want to be able to impact on a more local level and be able to help children, I think Dream Catchers is an awesome way to do that. So just addressing quickly, you know, it is not only going to greatly benefit the children, but it also has an impact on our psychology the more we give and help others. So, Dana, I think the superheroes thing is cute. You know, I think any child that age, I have a 4-year-old, and he spends most of his time talking about Spider-Man and Iron Man, and of course every pair of underwear he has is superheroes.
Awesome. And I have the Wonder Woman's on it.
And I think that's a unique way to kind of tie it to helping them get more from the experience and keeping them involved. But before we check out of here, because this is an abbreviated version of the Financial Doctor Show, to catch the full hour, you can tune in tomorrow at 4 p.m. right here on WGNS. But we're about 5-6 minutes away from our deadline. Is there anything you want to make sure we cover about Dream Catchers? I want people to fully understand you know, the benefits that you're providing to the community, and that way if it does pique their interest, they can contact you through financialdoctors.net or your website and be able to give time and money, whatever is needed.
Absolutely. Right now, Dream Catchers serves approximately 25 to 30 clients per week. We see kiddos as young as 15 months and to as old as 22 years of age. Again, we offer occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy. Our non-traditional services are hypotherapy. That's using the horse as a treatment tool. It's the dynamic three-dimension effect that cannot be duplicated by any other piece of traditional therapy equipment. And there's only certain programs in Middle Tennessee that actually can use the word hypotherapy and is certified to do so. Other ways, I always like to break my dollar amount down to, some people can give, you know, just a couple of dollars, which is going to be helpful all the way up to the greater amounts. But I like to put Dream Catchers amounts in terms of dream catching dollars. For instance, every dream catching dollar, a $50 investment can help one child obtain 1 hour of aquatic therapy. $100 of dream catching dollar investment can help one kiddo obtain one group social skills training for 1 month. A $500 investment can assist 8 children in attaining 1 hour of hypotherapy. A $1,000 investment can provide 1 hour of outpatient rehab services. That's OT, PT, and speech for 20 children. Other services, some animal-friendly people out there may want to adopt a horse. Your donation provides food, bedding, vet, and farrier services for our special chosen four-legged therapist. But again, that's dreamcatcherstherapyservices.org, and that information is on that website, and the contact numbers are there too for givings.
That is great. So remember out there, those of you thinking about giving, give local, and not just money, but time as well. So if you're looking for a great place, Dream Catchers is it. On this abbreviated version of the show, we're only going to add one more topic that we normally cover each week. And then if you want to catch the second half of the Financial Doctor Show, where we will cover the logistics of giving regarding your financial plan, tax benefits, how to do it efficiently, you can tune in tomorrow at 4 p.m. right here on WGNS, or catch the podcast at financialdoctors.net. We're going to switch gears real quick. and cover what we normally cover each week. It's called My Ripoff Alert. And this is where we just touch on what is going on in the financial services industry. For those of you that know my practice, it's built on fee-only financial planning, by not selling financial products, not having a sales atmosphere, but a consultative atmosphere. And I believe that commissions can be an evil thing in the financial planning industry. But the latest report that we had is from Financial Advisor Magazine, and LPL Financial, which is mainly an independent broker dealer, was fined $100,000. This just came out in last month, but $100,000 for failing to oversee one of its financial advisors, who was selling risk investments that were just too risky for elderly people. They were selling things like oil and gas partnerships, and they did this to about three dozen clients, and they were in their 70s and 80s. And you know, this speaks to the nonsense of this one particular financial advisor. But come on, you know, if you've got people part of your organization, you know, LPL, you got people a part of your organization that's out there doing this sort of thing, there's just no way you can police it. And I believe that if this guy's compensation wasn't tied to some financial product, he probably wouldn't have made these recommendations. So this is why you must demand full disclosure from your financial advisor. You need to hire someone with a fiduciary standard of care. Remember, insurance brokers and mutual fund salespeople do not have to follow the fiduciary standard. They follow the suitability standard of care, which means they don't have to recommend products in your best interest. Someone that is a fee-only registered investment advisor has to follow the fiduciary standard. So that's the two things to look for. And you know, if you need a second opinion about your investments, someone that doesn't have a dog in your fight, call me, fee-only financial life coach, Jason Qualls. You can go to jasonwqualls.com or call me at 878-2134. We're going to take a little bit of a short break here, and then we're going to come back and we're going to spend some more time with Dana. Thanks for tuning in to the Financial Doctor Show. If you need to chime in, 893-1450. Welcome back to the Financial Doctor Show. I'm Jason Qualls, your host, certified financial planner. And joining Dana and I here in the studio is Cliff Sharp from Greenhouse Ministries. And Cliff is going to tell us a little bit about his organization and how he helps the local community. And it's also another organization that I've identified. So if you're out there struggling, trying to find a service that you can donate your time and money to locally, Cliff runs a great organization. And hey, Cliff, thanks for joining us today.
Well, my pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.
If you were to give us a minute or two rundown of what you guys do over there.
It would take me longer than that.
In a nutshell, what are you guys doing?
Let me just tell you a little bit about how we got started and why we got started. My background, of course, is in education. I taught the last 24 years. I taught at Harding University in Arkansas. And my wife said, we've been in Arkansas 30 years. She's ready to come home. So we moved back over here. And I got involved with Crisis Pregnancy Center. I was there 8 years. And then about that time, we kept seeing people we felt like that were being missed. The main people that I think are really missed are single moms and the working poor. So that's who we started who we wanted to focus on. So, but we wanted to do more than just give somebody something. Our goal is to not only give them food or furniture or clothes or, you know, whatever we have, but we want to try to get them in classes. And we teach all the time. We have computer classes, GED, literacy, budgeting, parenting, marriage. We've even got a cooking class. We've had a crochet class. We've also got a appliance repair class, so people can donate appliances, whether they're good or not, and we can still work on them. But we just try to find a need and then see what we can do to fulfill it. But the main thing is we want to see what we can do to help educate, and then we want to develop relationships with people. But our second goal was to give people a place to volunteer. For instance, last year we served over 18,000 people. We have five staff members. There's no way five staff members can do what we do.
Jane told me that number. I was
right.
Amazed.
We'll have more than that this year. But it really gives people a chance who would like to volunteer and do something to jump in. And we're not micromanagers, so we feel like God has given everyone certain abilities, and we just let people use their abilities the best they can. Our training basically is philosophy more than it is training, because as much as we do, there's no way that we could really train anybody.
And I think that's powerful what you had said, that you want to not only provide assistance to people, but also kind of give them some knowledge and some training. And I think that's a great way to do that. And during the break, you and I were talking about the budgeting classes, and you also mentioned one other one, which is your parenting class.
The parenting. Those are the two most life-changing classes we do.
And tell us more about, I think everyone out there knows if you're kind of struggling with your budget, what a budgeting class would cover, but what would the parenting class cover?
The parenting class, basically what we do, again, I've got two different people that teach our parenting classes. But what they do, they mainly just sit down with them. Usually to start with, they'll work with them some one-on-one, and then they start meeting with them as a group. And again, it's according to what the ages are. Mm-hmm. But they've got general guidelines. The lady that wrote our curriculum is the same one that wrote the curriculum for Exchange Club.
Okay, the one that they teach. Okay.
Right. And so basically what they're going to do is talk about how to relate, parent to child, and just, again, guidelines on how to treat each other.
Because they don't come with an owner's manual, I don't think.
It does not come with an owner's manual.
You have a child.
You know, there's a great series, Raising Kids God's Way. Now, they do not follow that curriculum, but it's a guide that they use, and one that I know I've taught it before. Great, idea. But basically it's, teaching respect and courtesy and character and those types of things, so someone will understand, again, just how to get along.
Awesome. Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Financial Doctors Radio Show, and we're covering the power of charitable giving. And I have two great organizations on with me here, Cliff Sharp from Greenhouse Ministries and Dana Cox from Dreamcatcher Services. And Cliff is sharing with us more about his organization. Cliff, from the needy and the homeless in our community here, I think people sometimes, when they see someone on the side of the road, it kind of triggers their mind that they may need to help. But is people going without food, is that a growing problem that you've seen increase with our population growth here in town, or where do you see it? Because I think people
you're asking about three questions, and let me tell you why you say that. The people you see on the side of the road, very few of those, sure they have a need, but they're panhandling.
Right.
They are getting money so they can have a night to sleep in a hotel or motel. Now, that's not bad, but that's what they're doing to exist. Are they hungry? Probably not, because there are so many places where they can get food.
Right.
Journey Home, great organization. They feed every day. And if someone happens to be in Salvation Army or a room at the Inn, then they have their meals. We have a lot of people that come by that are not living any place, and so when we ask for donations, food donations, we say, bring things that have pop-top cans, like Vienna sausage and things that someone that does not have cooking facilities can use. And I know the food bank does the same thing, and some of the other places that help with food. So there's lots of food available. Again, the ones I think that are hurting are those that, again, single moms and working poor. We are seeing more what I would call the working poor right now than ever before because of the economy. And see, so many people that come and they've never had to ask for anything, and they are so embarrassed. And, you know, our philosophy, of course, is to make, when someone comes in, let them know right off that, you know, yes, we can help you with food. That's no problem. Tell me what's going on. Because our goal is to build relationships.
It's not necessarily about the food. It's kind of what got them there.
No. It's not at all. We want to develop relationships with them, and so they know that we're there to help them, and we're not there just to give them something. And most people, you can't get to go to a class. I mean, just because you have classes does not mean people will go, unless you develop a relationship and then they understand, hey, this might help me. But just to have the classes, I got a call from a lady the other day, and she said, you know, I noticed that you're teaching these classes, and Journey Home's teaching some classes, and the United Way said, y'all are all duplicating services. I said, well, it may appear that we're duplicating services, but people will go to my classes that they would not go to Journey Home. They would not go to United Way. People go to United Way that wouldn't come over to me. So, no, because until somebody develops a relationship and encourages them to get in class, they're not going to take classes.
Right. And before you guys came up with Greenhouse, where was the go-to? I feel like, you know, this is kind of, you guys are the go-to organization in the local community, because I feel like everything else is more national-based and more governmental-backed.
We did not feel there was a go-to place. This is one of the reasons, this main reason we started. We felt like that there was just these people, this groups of people that were being missed. And, you know, one of the great things, again, about our community, everyone works together. You know, it's amazing how I can pick up the phone and call nearly any group, organization, it doesn't matter where it's, police department, the mayor's office, housing, whatever, city schools. You can call them and they'll be willing to help. And they know they in turn can call us, or they can call each other. And so we have just a great coalition of helpers in our community.
That is great. So, Cliff, from Greenhouse, what is the best way to contact you if you want to donate time or money or just learn more about how you guys are helping the community? Or if you're out there listening and you may need the assistance, what is the contact info there?
Of course, we're at 309 South Spring, which is, if you know where the radio station is, we're
right
straight
across the way.
One block over R. You look for the tallest building in town, and we're beside it. We're on, as I said, on Spring Street. Phone number, 615-494-0499. It's in the phone book, of course. We do have a website, greenhousemin.org, that they can, someone can look and see. Our volunteers, we do have training, as I mentioned a while ago, but it's a two-hour orientation more than anything else. You know, why we treat people with dignity and why that's, you know, our goal and all of those, you know, and how we got started and those types of things. But then if someone, again, if someone's interested in volunteering, we'll let them jump in. A lot of hands-on things to do. Since we started the thrift store, that doubled the need for volunteers.
Oh, I bet.
Because you got to sort everything that comes in. But that's been great for us cash flow wise, because, you know, sometimes cash flow is a thing that really hurts. Our donations are usually good at the end of the year. They're very, very slow in the summers. and you know how that goes. Just like church, you know, our donations are slow there. Usually January, you know, November and January, they pick up, December and January, and then they, you know, they drop back off. So with the thrift store, we're able to have a pretty good cash flow.
Well, that's important. So for those of you needing a place to give, like I mentioned before, if you're listening to the, if you're tuning in to the Financial Doctor Show, we're talking about charitable giving with Greenhouse Ministries. And we're going to cover some of the ways that you can make contributions. It is that time of year to get the tax deduction from a financial planning perspective. And I know there's many people out there that let me say this first. You need to give because it's in your heart, not because of the tax deduction. But anything that you are doing in that arena, you want to make sure you're doing it efficiently because the government does allow for some deductions in making charitable contributions. But the deadline is December 31st. And both the organizations that have been a part of the show today, whether it be Dreamcatchers or Greenhouse Ministries, you can find links to both of their websites at financialdoctors.net. But let's just talk about if you are going to make charitable contributions, what is the logistics and how it relates to your financial plan? And basically, you're allowed to deduct the fair market value of the property you're giving. Most people give cash, but if you're giving property, up to 50% of your adjusted gross income. So, for example, and that would mean you're making high level of charitable contributions. So there is a limit. You couldn't make $50,000 a year and give away $50,000 a year and get to deduct it all in 1 year. Now, there is a 5-year carry forward for any losses you couldn't take in 1 year. So if you did, in that extreme example, make $50,000 of income, didn't need it, and decide to give it all to charity, you can only deduct half of that, assuming that's your adjusted gross income, in 1 year. Any remainder you would carry forward for 5 years. So that's the limit. And the percentages do change depending on what assets you're giving, but most organizations that are 501(c)s, what's known as a qualified 50% limit organization. The other limits that are out there is the 30% limit, and that really applies to fraternal societies and veterans organizations, that type of thing. And then the other laws change surrounding when you start giving away property that has capital gains interest in it. And we'll spend some time talking about that before we close out the show here. So when you're giving, you want to make sure you're keeping great records. And this sometime it may entail getting a gift letter from the organization. That is important. If you are making a charitable donation of more than $250, I think the law requires to have a gift letter from the organization. And make sure that the organization, like Greenhouse or Dreamcatchers, they can provide you with those letters in that circumstance. But let's focus some time on what assets to give. You know, everybody knows you can give cash, you can give your time. But from a financial planning perspective, and this is an overlooked area that I see a lot of just investment guys missing when helping people with their personal finances, and that is giving away appreciated property or property that has long-term capital gains tax associated with it, rather than giving cash. And how that is important is this: when you give the asset away, you get the tax deduction, but you've also given away that future capital gain that you would have had to potentially recognize at some point down the road. So, example, let's say that you have a Walmart stock that you inherited from your grandmother, and it's worth, let's say, $5,000. But you have no idea what grandmother had paid for it, so it basically has a zero cost basis. So anytime that you sell that $5,000 of Walmart stock, it's going to be totally 100% taxable gain because you have no idea what the basis is. And if you're contemplating on giving $5,000 away of cash, it would be better in this circumstance to give that Walmart stock away. The charity can then take the Walmart stock, sell it, do what they want to with the cash. You got the charitable tax deduction, but you didn't have to realize any capital gains tax. And then if that Walmart stock was that important to you, you could take your $5,000 in cash and turn right back around and buy it back and be in the same financial position as far as the stock goes. So it's always a better idea to give appreciated assets that have long-term capital gains versus just giving cash. Because at the end of the day, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong, you don't care how it comes to you, as long as it comes to you in the form of an asset. So you want to look at giving away things that have low cost basis. And like I mentioned, you can take advantage of the 5-year carry forward on losses. Well, let's talk about one other thing that people overlook in their charitable giving, and this is one that's closing out year end, and that is the ability to give money from your IRA. This year, ending December 31st, if you are older than 70 and a half, you're allowed to take $100,000 from your IRA, your individual retirement account, and give to a public charity. And this law changes after December 31st. You know, this could be include your required minimum distribution. For those of you that have IRAs, you know that the IRS makes you take distributions from your IRA after you turn 70 and a half. So, and sometimes people don't need those funds right now. So if you're making charitable contributions and you want a way to give money efficiently and you don't need the money from your IRA or the income from your IRA, you're allowed to do up to $100,000 by the end of this year. And that's something that most people aren't going to know that exists. So I want you here to know, the listeners of the Financial Doctor Show, to know that's available. It's a powerful tool that may not be around next year. But two of the things in part of the topic that how we tagged the show was leaving behind a legacy. So if we know where to give with the two great organizations that we focused on here today, we know how to give, we know the tax laws around it, we know what to give because we want to give appreciated property. And if you have questions about other types of property, income-producing property, or other things like artwork and things like that that have a value, the IRS has strict rules on those kind of things. But if we're talking about cash and stock bonds and mutual funds, we can address those issues pretty effectively by calling me at 878-2134. But the last thing, if you really are in the situation where you're able to give a little bit, but you feel like you're not able to give as much as you want, but you really want to leave behind a legacy, and what I recommend my clients is a great tool is using their life insurance death proceeds to donate to a charity. If you designate a piece of your, let's say you own $500,000 of life insurance and you designate just $100,000 of that money to go to a charity, that may be more than you were able to give during your lifetime, but that's going to make a dramatic impact on that organization. And it's costing you really pennies on the dollar to get to do that. So consider if you have it in your heart to give, but just can't find it in your budget to give as much as you desire, and you're already giving your time but still want to do more, using life insurance to leave behind that legacy is important. So think about your beneficiary designations. And one new thing that's out there that I think most people haven't come to terms, and you guys may not have heard this before, but there's a lot of people out there in the insurance industry as well. This is a new thing. It's called charitable giving riders, where if you buy over $1 million of life insurance with a life insurance company, they'll allow you for free to put a rider on that insurance policy for 1 or 2% that goes to the charity. So, and it doesn't cost you any more money. So if you're out there and you have an insurance life insurance need that's over the $1 million mark, you may need to seek out an insurance company that gives this rider away for free. So it's a way to have 1 or 2% of your death benefit go directly to charity, and it doesn't cost you an extra cent. So that's two easy ways, other than giving time and money you have from your budget, that you can leave behind a legacy, and that's powerful. So just to recap what we've covered in this last little segment on the logistics of it, keep good records when you're donating to organizations. If you give more than $250, get a letter that states what you've got, basically a receipt from the charitable organization. And also, you want to make sure you're maximizing your deductions. So if you have assets that are appreciated, it's better to give those than cash from a financial planning perspective. But also look at the IRA owners out there before December 31, and remember that $100,000 rule, that you can give away $100,000 of your IRA money to a public charity. And if you need more information on this, it'll be on the website, financialdoctors.net. You can also contact me, 878-2134, or go to my website, jasonwqualls.com. So that is the logistics of it. You know, the tax code's pretty, it's long on that, but for the most people, I think that's going to cover probably 95% of the people that are out there. I have worked in a lot of estate planning cases with a lot of high net worth where we are using charitable remainder trusts and things like that. So if that's something that's kind of on your mind, you can also contact us with that information. Because I've dealt with people, you know, everyday people to people that are some of the wealthiest in the state of Tennessee. And charitable giving is a big part of someone's estate plan. And it is a big part in not only helping another organization, but also helping you retain more of your assets and allow it to go where you want it to go versus where the government says it to go. And that would be to paying taxes. So, if you're just tuning in, this is the Financial Doctor Show. I'm your host, Jason Qualls, Certified Financial Planner, and we're going to close out the last 5 or 6 minutes here. We're going to spend some more time talking with Dana from Dreamcatchers and Cliff from Greenhouse Ministries and just letting them share more about how you can give your time or if you need their services or if you need to give, you want a great place to donate your charitable contributions. So that's how we're going to close out the show. Cliff, is there anything that – I know you've been a part of WGNS before. I want to make sure we're covering as much as we possibly can in the short time we have to
let, let me mention something again on the giving, especially as deals with the thrift store. Anyone that brings something in, we can give them a what we – it's just a donation form that shows that they have given something. But a lot of times, you know, we tell them we do not set the price of that. It's up to you to determine the value. But I, you know, we say that. But you need to make sure that you're pretty pretty honest on what it is. You know, we don't. Bill Clinton, you know, donated his shorts like $20 a pair, so we don't want to. But they do that. We give them a form, and then they treat that just like a cash donation. And you know, they need to make sure they keep up with that. Also, we have several people that give automobiles. On automobiles, they change
a little bit of a trick to that,
right? They change the law on it now. If we sell it, we cannot give them a donation form until we dispose of the car. And then you can only whatever we sell it for is the donation they get. Used to, you took the Blue Book value, but they have changed that.
Are they even allowing independent appraisers on that anymore?
Well, it doesn't matter on the appraiser. It's just whatever you sell it for.
It's always a sale.
Now the option is if you do not sell the car but you give it away, then they can take the Blue Book value. Which we have done two or three of those that, you know, we'll find, know somebody that their car is torn up, they can't get to work, somebody donates one, and so we just give it to someone.
Yeah, because when cars come down to the end of their life,
right,
it's really, you're not going to get that much more of a benefit from selling it. You might as well donate the thing.
I had a lady give us a 94 Maxima and has 240-something thousand miles on it. You know, it's not worth anything.
Right.
But to somebody that doesn't have a car,
it's worth the world.
And really is a great run. It was a great running little old car. The air conditioner worked. Everything worked on it. I mean, they had really, really taken good care of it. But for them, it wasn't worth anything. But they gave it to us. They could take the Blue Book value because I donated it to someone.
That's awesome. Dana, would you like to share anything more about Dreamcatchers?
No, Jason, I just want to thank you for letting me be on the show. I want to thank my dad and the Dreamcatchers Board of Directors. Without their support, this organization could not have been what it is as far as just now recently turning it over to a nonprofit. In ways to give for Dreamcatchers right now, student scholarship funding, old therapy equipment that is not used anymore or the child has outgrown or you know of any school systems or anything that is getting rid of equipment, therapy equipment purposes, we are glad to take those. Dreamcatchers dollars for renovations and just your time. We have sporadic days of caring. Dreamcatchers is on a 6-acre farm, so we always are needing manual labor, so just days of care.
Great. Well, both these great organizations and let me backtrack just a second. When I started, as I mentioned earlier in the show, when I started looking for places to give, I had a hard time finding local truly local organization. So both Greenhouse Ministries and Dreamcatchers are two great local charitable organizations that you can donate your time and your money to. So for more information on how to contact either one of them, will be on thefinancialdoctors.net. And you can also go to both of their websites. And Cliff, if you want to say your website one more time before we close out the show.
It's Greenhouse Men. That's MIN.org.
And then Dana?
DreamcatchersTherapyServices.org.
Great. Well, I'm thankful for both of you guys being able to be a part of the show today. It has been.
Thank you, Jason, very much for allowing us to be here.
And we'll probably do another charitable giving show at some time in the future, because it is something that I want to keep kind of top of mind. It is not just something that we need to talk about during Christmas or the holiday season. So it is important. It's an important aspect of your financial planning, and also what it does for you from a personal perspective. And I think that it does a lot for your fulfillment in life by helping other people, especially those that are less fortunate than you. But that is it for today on the Financial Doctor Show. And let me do my normal closing here. Remember, there is more than one way to skin a cat. We want to educate our listeners. Real financial planning is really about your entire financial life. It doesn't always involve financial products. If you need an objective, unbiased second opinion from someone who does not have a dog in the fight, because I do not sell financial products, I am a fee-only financial life coach. You can contact me at 878-2134 or go to jasonwqualls.com. Thanks again to our guests. Thanks for our listeners. Till next week, I'm Jason Qualls, Certified Financial Planner. Thanks for tuning in to the Financial Doctor Show. Is your financial advisor really a salesperson? Traditional financial planning is the source of the stress that most people feel in their financial life. This is because most financial advisors are driven by how to sell you financial products rather than providing sound financial advice. The way your advisor is compensated really matters. Hire someone that puts your interest first and really works for you, not a mutual fund broker dealer or an insurance company. If you're looking for someone that can provide you with sound financial advice that's objective and unbiased, call me, Jason Qualls, Certified Financial Planner and fee-only financial life coach at 878-2134 or go to jasonwqualls.com.
Hello, this is Grant Lichtenwalter with Middle Tennessee Insurance Group. We specialize in shopping your home and auto insurance out with the top-rated companies in the country. And even though our rates are low, we pride ourselves on our service and our attention to detail. We save the average household over $500 a year, while in most cases increasing their coverage. Call Middle Tennessee Insurance Group today at 898-0053. Your home for affordable coverage with complete protection.